I like to set goals. As a matter of fact, if you're on the leadership team and you write a report, over the past few years, our reports consist of 30-day goals, 60-day goals, and 90-day goals. And the interesting thing about that is if you accomplish your 30-day goals, your 60-day goals now become your 30-day goals, and your 90-day goals become your 60-day goals, and you can always report on what you completed in the past 30 days. I believe that everybody should have a goal in life. I think we need big goals. I think we need also short-term goals. Everybody needs to have a goal. In Shadow Haven Ministries, part of the barometer for how long guys stay is, what are your goals? If you have goals that you're trying to accomplish, as long as you have goals that you're working on, then they can stay and work on those. But if they stop having goals and are just living there, then it's time to live somewhere else. I believe it's important to have goals, and the Bible tells us that we should have goals. So this morning I want to talk to you about the difference between thinking and doing. Lots of people have thoughts, and they will express them like goals. I'd like to live on the beach. And they'll say that. Is that a goal or is that a thought? Well, at first it's a thought. We're going to talk about how to turn a thought into a goal. I'd like to have a fancy car. I like listening to, once in a while, listen to bluegrass. And I always think, oh, it'd be fun to learn how to play the banjo. And I'll say, oh, I'd like to learn how to play the banjo. But that's just a thought. It's a pie-in-the-sky dream. Why? Because I have no plan to make it happen. And it's not going to happen unless I make a plan or set that as a goal to make it happen. We have lots of ideas. We have lots of thoughts that we express. Facebook is a great place for that to happen. People will say, oh, I think I ought to do this. And of course, then they're looking for the people to like it and say, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. But it's really just a thought. It's not a goal. And so this morning we're going to talk a little bit about goal setting, the difference between thinking and doing. The definition of a goal is the result or achievement toward which effort is directed. In other words, you take your energy, you take your effort, and you direct it toward something, a result or an achievement. My goal is to graduate high school, so you direct your energy toward that achievement. My goal is to lose weight, and so you direct your energy toward that achievement. My goal is to become a better employee, and so you direct your energy toward that. So we're going to look at why goals are so important to changing my life. The first one is this. Goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. Goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. We typically don't think that way, but when you look at Scripture and you look at individuals in Scripture, you go to any story in Scripture where God told them to do something, and then they set that as a goal. God told Noah to build the ark. He set that as a goal, and he began to flesh that out and to work that out. Everybody who accomplished anything in Scripture, any great thing in Scripture, set a goal. That goal was given to them by God. So it's a spiritual responsibility. In Philippians 3, 12 through 14, Paul writes this. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul was a goal setter. We have a spiritual responsibility to set goals and to live in such a way that we are trying to achieve those goals. A lot of people go through life and they just kind of wander. They take life as it comes. Whatever life brings their way, that's how they choose to live. I want to challenge you that is not, if you are a Christ follower, that is not the way that you should live. Because the Bible is full of worthy goals. The Bible is full of things that as believers, we ought to strive to do. For example, to love your neighbor as yourself. So a worthy goal might be to love your neighbor, to learn to love your neighbor. Or the Bible also says to love your enemies. That's not something that just comes naturally. If we're just going to wander around, we're not going to love our enemies. Natural instinct would be to hate those who we would consider our enemies or maybe our nemesis. Maybe there's somebody at work that's just gets under your skin. And so you can set as a goal, I'm going to love that person as Christ loved me. So you begin to set steps and change your behavior and so on. The Bible is full of incidences of where we can and should be setting goals for ourselves. Any place in your life where you feel that you are not living up to what Christ has called you to do would be a worthy goal. So goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. Secondly, goals are statements of faith. If we're a believer in Jesus Christ, then goals are a statement of faith. Ephesians 3:20, while this is given kind of as a benediction in this passage, it has a wonderful truth in it. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. And so here we have this statement about God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I can imagine a lot of things, but I cannot imagine more than God can do. And so goals are a statement of faith. If we say, if we establish a goal for ourselves that we believe that God would be pleased with, he's able to do even more than that. And so when we set goals, excuse me, they are a statement of faith. In Matthew 9:29, Jesus is saying to a man who he heals, he's saying, according to your faith, let it be done to you. So how big are your goals? Because according to your faith, let it be done to you. How big are your goals? Because God is able to do immeasurably more than you can ever think or imagine. How big are your goals? It is a statement of faith. Number three, goals focus my energy. Goals focus my energy. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9:26, therefore I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. There Paul paints a picture of somebody who's just wandering. Wandering through life, taking whatever comes. No direction. No goals. They're not working toward anything. They're not striving toward anything. And so you can either choose to live that way. And here's the thing. You only have so much energy, right? I mean, and it seems like every year I have less and less. But we only have so much energy. And so either you can choose to focus your energy and maximize what you have, or you can just take life as it comes. You're still going to expend the same amount of energy. But this way, it is focused. So therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. David last week brought to us a message from Nehemiah. And then there, one of the steps was not forsaking what is important for what is urgent. People are going to bring a lot of urgent things into your life. People will set the agenda for your life if you don't have an agenda for yourself. And so when our energy is focused, when we're working towards a goal, we can look at things and say, yeah, that might be important to you, but to me, it is not important. That's going to distract me from my goal. That's going to take me from what I believe God has called me to do. A lot of people will spend a lot of energy doing things that aren't necessarily what God called them to do. And it's a very frustrating experience. Because why? Because they expend a lot of energy and yet they don't feel fulfilled. They're frustrated because they're not successful at it. When you find out what God wants you to do and you devote your energy to that, you will be successful. You will find actually that you have more energy. Why? Because you're doing what you've been called to do. Goals help us to focus our energy. Goals keep us going. Goals keep us going. In Galatians 6:9, it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Goals motivate us. They keep us going. We set a goal and we keep working toward it. And if we don't establish a goal, again, we just wander through life. We just take it as it comes. Whatever somebody asks us to do, that's what we're going to do. Why? Because we don't have a reason to say no. And we just flounder and wander. Goals keep me going. Number five, goals build my character. Goals build my character. The interesting thing is that God calls us to become better. Right? I mean, you don't have to become better to become a Christian. But once you become a Christian, once you give your life to Christ, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the expectation is that as a result of that, you will be better. You will be a better person. You will be expected to grow. And so as you establish goals for your life, like for example, we have a perfect goal that every one of you could adopt. And that is to participate in the 40 days of purpose, or 40 days of prayer rather. 40 days of prayer campaign that is coming up. Participate in a small goal. You could, a small group, you could establish that as a goal for yourself. It will better you. Why? Because you will learn how to pray. And you will learn how to pray effectively. And not only that, you'll grow in relationships with other people in the small group. And God will do things in your life that wouldn't happen if you didn't establish that as a goal. Because the reality is, if you don't set as a goal for yourself learning how to pray better, then you're just going to pray the way you've always prayed. It's not going to happen. It just isn't miraculously going to happen someday. And so you need to establish that as a goal and take steps toward making that happen. And so as we begin to work towards something, then what we're doing is we're inviting God to work in us. And so we'll build our character, we'll refine our character, it will refine who we are as a believer in Jesus Christ. And number six, good goals will be rewarded. good goals will be rewarded. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And so if your goals are good goals, then they need to be directed toward heaven, toward the eternal life. That's not to say we can't have goals here on earth. You know, my goal might be to get a better job, maybe to earn more money. But I can tell you, if you say that that is a goal for yourself, my goal is to get a job to earn more money so I can spend it on myself, then that's not a goal, a God-given, God-driven goal. But if your goal is, I want to earn more money so I can give more away, that's a goal that God would honor. And so good goals will be rewarded. If you have a God-driven or God-directed goal, it will be rewarded. So we've looked at why goals are important to changing my life. So I want to give you some steps for setting goals. Give you some steps for setting goals. The first one is this. Begin with God. Begin with God. Our theme kind of for this month has been seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, out of Matthew chapter 6. The Bible teaches us, Jesus teaches us, if we seek the kingdom first, he's going to take care of everything else. And so when we're setting goals and we're establishing goals and direction for our life, we want to begin with God. We want to begin with God. What we have a tendency to do, let me back that up. What I have a tendency to do sometimes is establish a goal and then say, okay, God, now help me with this. And that's backward. And when I do that, I find myself in deep weeds. I find myself getting into trouble. Why? Because I didn't seek God's counsel first. I didn't talk to him about it first. It wasn't necessarily a God-directed goal. But when God gives you a direction, when he gives you a goal, when he gives you a dream, when he gives you a vision, then he will enable you to fulfill it. But it has to begin with God. And now it doesn't have to be overly spiritual. I mean, you might establish as a goal, or maybe as a New Year's resolution, you know, I want to lose some weight. And is that God's desire for you? I believe so. Because God wants you to be healthy. He wants you to take care of his body, of your body, the body that he has given you, his temple. And so I believe that that is a God-directed goal. But more than that, the reality is we're not going to be able to do it in our own strength. I mean, when we might be able to be successful for a while to lose a few pounds. I, in my lifetime, have probably lost 500 pounds. Now, I never weighed 500 pounds. But my point is, I would lose it, and then it would come back, and I would lose it, and it would come back. Why? Because to be honest with you, most of the time it was just something I decided that I was going to do. And I didn't ask God daily for his help in that matter. And so begin with God. Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And so the first step for setting a goal is to begin with God. Have a conversation with God about it. Ask Him if this is something that He has laid on your heart. One of the things that happens in general, but in Christian circles or in the church, I believe it's a little bit more problematic. And that is, people will say, they have an idea, and then they will just, since they had the idea and they're in a relationship with God, they'll say, well, I believe God wants me to. And they'll use God, really, in essence, they'll take God's name in vain. I believe God wants me to do this. Do you know for sure that God wants you to do this? I mean, did the idea just come in your head, and so every idea that comes in your head, you just automatically think is from God? That's not biblical. We get ideas all the time that aren't from God. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have said, take every thought captive and see if it is from God. And so just because you have an idea doesn't necessarily mean it's from God. So when you have an idea, when you have a dream, when you have a vision, talk to God about it. Is this really from you? People will say, oh, I believe God wants me to do this. And then nothing happens. And then maybe a month later, God wants them to do something else. And nothing happens. And besides taking God's name in vain, they're essentially saying that, well, you know, God asked me to do this, but He didn't follow through. And so it didn't work. Because whatever God brings to your heart that is truly from God, He will enable it to happen. There's a saying that says, whatever God brings you to, He will bring you through. And so if it's really of God, He'll bring it about, as long as you're faithful to Him. The second thing, and this is a big point, is tell the right people. Tell the right people. There's a passage out of Nehemiah, again, which David preached from last week, but I love this passage. And if you just read through it, you'll miss the importance of it. But in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 12 and 16, in verse 12 it says, I set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. And then in verse 16, the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. Nehemiah kept it a secret. He didn't tell anybody. He believed that he had a vision from God, a directive from God to rebuild the city, to rebuild the walls. And he didn't tell anybody for a while. He went and did kind of a reconnaissance mission, looked it over, began to think about it, pray about it, but he didn't tell anybody. He kept it to himself. I have seen people make statements like, God wants me to do this. And they make these big, bold proclamations. And they get it backward. They start telling people. And then getting people's feedback. Because really what it's about is it's getting attention from people. Now, if Nehemiah had said to this group of people, to his people, if he had said to them, hey, I think we ought to rebuild the wall, do you think they would have been on board with it? No. They wouldn't have been, I mean, there might have been a few, but most of them wouldn't have been on board with it because why? They had grown accustomed to the situation that they were in. They didn't see it as a problem. And they wouldn't have been on board with it. Or maybe they would have. But just because people say it's a good idea doesn't mean they're going to help. Just because people say, oh yeah, I think that's a worthy goal, doesn't mean they're going to give. A number of years ago when this sanctuary had a number of problems, and I don't have time to tell you about it, the problems in this building was built in a week by Carpenters for Christ and by volunteers, and Carpenters for Christ did a great job, but there was some problems, particularly with the floor was poured, and it was poured poorly, and so there was variations in the floor. It wasn't level, it wasn't flat, and everything, you know, if the foundation's off, then the rest of the building is off. And so as a church, that held us back. Every time we want to do something, it would go back to, well, you know, we can't do this because of the building. Can't do this because of the building. And so the leadership at that time, we created a plan to redo the floor and to resheet rock the walls and paint and do everything. Now, I knew that if I asked the congregation for a vote, and said, how many of you think we ought to do this? It would have been unanimous. Everybody would have said, I think we ought to do it. It doesn't mean they would have necessarily shown up to work. It doesn't mean that they would have given toward it. So what I believe God directed me to do instead was to create a campaign where people pledged. And so the vote was, your pledge, I will give $25 a month towards this. I will give $200 a month towards this. And your vote, your positive vote, was attached to the amount of money that you would give to the project. And we set a budget, and if we achieved that amount of money in pledges, then we would go ahead with the project. If we didn't, then the project wasn't going to happen. And the reality was people pledged, and that was their positive vote. Why? Because it's really easy to say yes to something and then not follow through. For example, if I were to say to you, do you believe that our church ought to establish a prayer meeting? Most of you would raise your hand. Yes, I think our church ought to have a prayer meeting. But if I were to say, how many of you honestly will come to a prayer meeting? The number would be very different. To make it even more personal, more practical, if I were to say to you, do you feel like as a church we ought to devote 40 days to learning how to pray? Most of you would raise your hand. If I said, turned it around and said, how many of you are going to participate in the 40 days of prayer? There would be less hands raised. Just because people say they're supportive doesn't mean they're necessarily supportive. Nehemiah knew that when he got the vision from God, that it was between him and God. And so he didn't say anything until it was the right time. When I wanted to start Shadow Haven Ministries, the reality was I had had that idea probably 2 to 3 years before I brought it to the church. I didn't just come out and announce it like, oh, I have this idea. I waited I wanted to see if it was really of God, and I wanted to make sure that when I did bring it forward, that the congregation would be behind it. And so I would drop little hints here and there, make suggestions, talk to a few people, but never really share the whole big picture. And so then when I was able to share the big picture, the people, you were behind it. I have a lot of ideas. I've learned not to say what they are. Sometimes people say, well, I want to know what you're thinking. No, you don't. You don't want to know what I'm thinking. I keep it to myself because I've had a lot of ideas that haven't come to fruition. Why? Maybe because the timing isn't right? Maybe because they really aren't from God? I mean, it was David had a desire to build the temple. Worthy goal. Did God allow him to do it? No. God used him to make it happen through his son, Solomon. David laid the groundwork, but it wasn't his to do. So tell the right people. Again, don't put it out there on Facebook. I had a youth pastor at one time who apparently had the desire to establish a Christian school here at Lamson Road. How I found out about it was he posted that idea on Facebook. We're going to be starting. I'm like, what? We are? I knew it wasn't going to happen. And see, but when we do those kinds of things, every time we do them, we lose credibility. And we lose integrity. Every time we say something that we believe God wants us to do and it doesn't happen, we lose credibility. So make sure you tell the right people. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So tell the right people. Tell the people. Talk to the people who have knowledge in that particular area. If you, to use the example of losing weight, if you want to lose weight, you would not go to a dietitian who weighs 600 pounds. That would not be the right counsel. If you want to learn how to better manage your money, you wouldn't go to the homeless person on the street and ask for advice. Now, you might talk to them and they might tell you it's a good idea, but they're not going to give you any help in moving in that direction. So choose who you tell carefully and make sure you tell the right people. Number three, be specific. Be specific. Jesus gives an example of that, and he uses this in the context of choosing to be a disciple and the cost of being a disciple, but I think it has application for this. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish." So be specific with your goals. And so there's a few questions you need to ask yourself. One is this goal measurable? Is this goal measurable? I mean, how will you know if you're successful? I want to be a better Christian. That's a worthy goal, right? I want to be a better. How will you know if you get there? What are the things that you will use to measure your success? Well, I want to learn how to share my faith. Okay, so you learn, you take a class, you do a Bible study, you learn how to share your faith. The next step might be not just learning how to share your faith, but sharing your faith. And so you might at the end of the year say, well, I was able to share my faith with 50 people. Is that measurable? Absolutely. But when we just toss it out there, I want to be a better Christian, and we have no plan, and there is no measuring marks, we really don't know. So is the goal measurable? If you were to say, I want to lose weight, well, to make it measurable would be, I want to lose 20 pounds. Is the goal attainable? Okay, so what you say, well, what's the difference? Well, is the goal measurable? I want to lose 20 pounds. Is it attainable? I want to do it by next weekend because I have my high school reunion. It's not attainable. And by the way, it's also not realistic. But I want to lose 20 pounds. Is that attainable? Yes. I want to, whatever it is, can it really be attained? I want to become a multimillionaire. And we might spiritualize it. I want to become a multimillionaire so I can give it all away to missions. Is that attainable? I mean, it's possible, but not really. So make sure it's something that is attainable. Is it realistic? Is it realistic? Is it realistic that I could become a multimillionaire? Probably not. Is it realistic that I could lose 20 pounds by next weekend? Unless I get some intestinal flu, probably not. Make sure it is realistic. Set realistic goals. The best way to defeat yourself is to set unrealistic goals. So if you say, for example, I want to spend more time in the Bible. I want to spend more time reading the Bible. Great goal. I want to read the Bible through in a month. Is it possible? Yeah. But here's the thing. If you're not reading it now, you're probably not going to read it through in a month. And so maybe a goal is to read it through in a year, or to read through the New Testament in a year, or to read through the Old Testament in a year. Make sure it's realistic. Know yourself. Know your limitations. And then the fourth thing is, and I am terrible at this, write it down. Write it down. I mean, I have goals, and I have things that are in my head, but I don't necessarily write them down. And as I was preparing this message, one of the things that occurred to me was, I wish I had written down the goal for Shadow Haven Ministries. And I also wish that I had journaled all of the steps, all of the problems, all of the setbacks, all of the people who came through. I wish I had all that. I don't, because I didn't write it down. But maybe if you have a goal, if you have something that you feel God has laid on your heart to do, maybe just go to the dollar store, or go to, you know, a stationery store and buy a cheap journal. And on the first page, just write your goal. And then journal. I wish I had done that. I wish I had done that when I came to this church. I wish I had journaled. Because there were a lot of things that happened. Some of it not so good, but it would have been good to remember that God brought me through those times. Some of it very good. And we just have a tendency to forget it. God moved in this church in miraculous ways. I mean, God performed some miracles here. Not because of me, because I certainly wasn't. don't put me on a pedestal. I was not worthy of it. But God did some miraculous things. If you weren't here for the tractor pull, the first tractor pull, ask me about it. God did a miracle that day. I wish I had written some of it down. I wish I had journaled it. So as God directs you to set some goals, and again, if you don't have one, I'll give you one. I'm going to participate in the 40 days of prayer. And I mean, is it specific? Yes. Talking about prayer, it's going to last 40 days. And maybe you need to journal that. How did God work through you? Maybe you journal the relationships. Well, I participated in a small group and I didn't know anybody. And now I have folks that are really good friends. Who knows what God wants to do in you and through you as you set goals for yourself. As I said a couple of weeks ago, Jesus didn't die on a cross so you can live a mediocre life. He gave it all. He gave His all. So we should at least give ours. Set some goals and trust God to help you achieve those goals. Take it from a thought to an action. Amen. Father, we thank You for this word. We pray that we might be goal setters, that we might be heavenly-minded goal setters, that are kingdom-minded goal setters, that we might choose with Your direction the path in which we should take to become better Christ followers. We pray, Father, that during this season of 40 days of prayer, that we might see growth and that we might be able to look back and give You praise for what You did in our lives. And Father, maybe there are some other goals. Maybe there's some dreams in this congregation that have just been kind of laying there. We pray, Father, that maybe they would be resurrected and they would be given direction and steps. We pray, Father, that we all might be able to look back and say, that's what I used to be. That's the way I used to think. But because of God's grace, this is who I am now. This is what I have become. This is the way I think today. So we pray, God, that You would do a work in our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.